A midsummer study by the International Council on Clean Transportation found that the average electric car produces 73% less greenhouse gas emissions over its lifespan than its gas-powered counterpart. That sounds good, but it obscures a cost. The ores that power our EVs and iPhones are fuel cells for conflict, corruption, and human exploitation in Central Africa. Yet what if key players in the region were able to dig deep into veins of unity and agency? We need to bring everyone to the table, not just the Rwandans and Congolese, but also the Burundians, Ugandans, Tanzanians, and all the stakeholders who profit from the diversion of minerals from Eastern DRC. An expert in transnational crime tells our contributor, Teodoro de Queiroz, in his story today from the coltan mines of the Democratic Republic of Congo. Conflict will need more than deadlines to be solved. It's Tuesday, December 2nd. This is the Monitor Daily Podcast. Good morning. I'm Kurt Schillinger. First, our curation of news briefs from our staff writers around the world. Many of these are developing stories. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com/newsbriefs. An appeals court held unanimously that Alina Habba, President Donald Trump's former personal attorney and now the acting U.S. attorney in New Jersey, has been serving unlawfully as the state's top federal prosecutor. After fulfilling a temporary 120-day appointment, she was reappointed as the acting U.S. attorney for the district in July, evading traditional confirmation by the Senate. The ruling could provide guidance for lawsuits concerning similar temporary U.S. attorney appointments around the country. Mexico is building what it calls Latin America's most powerful supercomputer, Coatlicue. Named after a prominent Aztec goddess, is meant to propel the nation forward in computing and artificial intelligence. It would be 7 times stronger than the region's most powerful supercomputer in Brazil and have over 100 times the capacity of Mexico's leading computer. Also, scientists announced they discovered rare turtle nest sites in the upper Gulf of Mexico. Critically endangered Kemp's Ridley turtles are a barometer of environmental health, so 3 nests on Mississippi's Ship Island are a good sign. Only 1 of 1,000 Kemp's Ridley hatchlings reaches adulthood, and most are born in Mexico and South Texas, so evidence of an extended nesting range suggests the elusive turtles are adapting to environmental challenges. Now, today's Monitor stories. As always, you can go to csmonitor.com for our latest news. President Donald Trump has vowed to attack drug trafficking across Latin America. But in promising to pardon a convicted trafficker from Honduras, he has swayed politics and unsettled policy. Whitney Ulick and contributor Juliana Ramazzini report from Tegucigalpa, Honduras, and Mexico City for The Monitor. The need for critical minerals has brought the United States to one of the world's longest-running conflicts. A fragile deal, Washington brokered between the Democratic Republic of Congo and the rebel M23 group, shows how economics might lead toward peace. Contributor Teodoro de Queiroz reports from Rubaya Mine, Democratic Republic of Congo, for The Monitor. A new feature on the social media platform X is revealing that many popular accounts featuring inflammatory content about U.S. politics are located in Asia, Africa, and Eastern Europe. While it's hard to know who is behind them, experts say many are just trying to profit from outrage. Simon Montlake reports for The Monitor. For many people, it sounds like a dream, living above a library. A number of major U.S. cities are experimenting with such mixed-use buildings as a way to add affordable housing, and cultivate community. Troy Aiden Sambahan reports from Boston for The Monitor. Leila Rook believes science instruction is not only for the elite. By connecting science to kids' daily lives through play-based activities and hands-on workshops, her social enterprise is getting marginalized children in Pakistan excited about learning. Contributor Kanika Gupta reports from Karachi, Pakistan, for The Monitor. Now, commentary from The Monitor's editorial board on how radical generosity seeds solutions. Americans are stocking up on purchases this holiday season for both themselves and loved ones. On Black Friday, online sales increased 9.1% over 2024, while Cyber Monday buying is expected to go up. And despite inflation and economic worries, charitable giving is also projected to rise this year during the annual Giving Tuesday campaign. Last year, 36.1 million people in the United States, a little over 10% of the population, donated $3.6 billion on that day alone. Giving Tuesday is now marked by local chapters in more than 100 countries. The movement's rapid global spread is testament to the near-universal value of what Giving Tuesday co-founder Asha Curran calls radical generosity, an altruism she defines as heartfelt, joyful, people-led, and rooted in our capacity to care for one another. Generosity, as a value, is, like love, a leveler, Ms. Curran has written. It is demonstrated as an expression of mutuality, solidarity, and reciprocity, not as a benevolence that the haves show to the have-nots. According to the 2025 World Giving Report, Africa is the most generous continent, despite its high poverty levels, with individuals donating an average of 1.54% of their income to charitable and religious causes. In wealthier Europe, that rate is 0.64%, dipping to 0.16% in Japan. It is notable that giving does not necessarily correlate with wealth or even security, commented Neil Heslop, head of the Charities Aid Foundation, which produced the report. Differing cultures of giving are influenced by individual perceptions of wealth, self-worth, and security, as well as by social and religious norms. For so many people, their treasure is in their wealth, wrote Elise Kaufman, a consultant for a faith-based financial services firm, referring to a biblical passage about material riches. Giving generously allows us to trust in God's provision, and giving to others helps us tangibly practice trusting in God rather than in our riches or belongings. The correlation of well-being with religious affiliation, social connections, and altruism is well documented. Studies show that happiness or flourishing is often stronger in countries that may be poor, but have deep faith traditions as well as communal approaches to sharing resources and solutions. Sarah Cross, an executive of Stand Together, a philanthropic organization, points to the power of joint action. Together, the millions of small Giving Tuesday gifts to nonprofit causes can make a massive combined impact, she wrote in USA Today this week. Contributing like this is inherently unifying, Ms. Cross wrote, pushing back against the view that America's problems are too big to solve by individuals and communities. The best way to find the meaning we all want is to realize that we can help solve even the most seemingly insurmountable problems. This Giving Tuesday, she urged, is the ideal time to recommit ourselves to this deeply fulfilling and desperately needed work. The stories you just heard are from today's newsletter. Find these stories and more at csmonitor.com. For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcasts. or other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares how, as we come to see that God is the source of wholeness, beauty, and strength in us all, we experience more balance and satisfaction in our lives. Find the full column at csmonitor.com/CS Perspective. Thanks to today's audio production team, Alyssa Britton, Audrey Thiebert, and Mackenzie Farkas.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor, copyright 2025.